Blog Talk Radio.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
What does it take to be a great husband and maintain a highly successful marriage until death do you part? Being a great husband is on a much higher level than simply being a great boyfriend. Boyfriend status rarely lasts for more than just a few months or a few years, but being a great husband requires much more than remembering you and your wife's wedding anniversary or picking up some roses on your way home from work on Valentine's Day. Any man can keep the sparks alive in a relationship with a woman for a few days, a few weeks, a few months, or even 3 or 4 years. But what exactly does it take to keep your wife totally and absolutely interested in you and only you romantically, sexually, and otherwise for decade after decade? My guest tonight is here to answer that very question. He is a professional relationship advisor as well as an up-and-coming author. His primary original philosophy is something he refers to as mastering the art of the inner wife. What book author would come up with a concept as unique as a man incorporating an inner wife into their manly psyche? His name is Chad Hunter, and tonight, this bright young man is going to enlighten my listeners as well as myself as he is about to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Is this Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. That's right, we're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, July 17th, and tonight is the nationwide premiere of the much-anticipated sequel to Batman Begins. It's entitled The Dark Knight, and it's actor Heath Ledger's last full performance. It has already broken records for the most advanced tickets purchased for any movie in history. And you might be asking, why do I make mention of this on my show? Because right after this episode of Upfront and Straightforward is ended, I will be right on my way to the movie theater to check out the midnight showing of The Dark Knight. Tonight, I'm going to forego my normal 15 minutes or so of introducing my show. Wendy Kay, who's in the chat room, she said, she teased me the other day. She said, Alan, I know I can go cook me a burger and go do my laundry for the first 15 minutes of your show because I know you're going to spend about 15 minutes, you know, doing your little kudos, your little shout-outs, plugging your book, etc. So I'm going to throw her off. Miss Wendy K, I'm going to throw you off, and I'm gearing to go right into my interview. But first, I got to give a little chat room love to Kerry Love, to Be Enlightened, Wildfire 50 and retired. We talk off the speak out. 5 foot elegant cutie. She backs me up on my love for chicken wings. That's right, 5 feet. I love you, baby. Truly blessed. I haven't seen you in a while. Canadians Rock and my boy, the Iceman 8090. Welcome to Alan Roger Curry's chat room. The gentleman I'm going to have tonight, down South Georgia girl, what's happening? He was referred to me by the voice you heard introducing me on my show every week. His name is Gerard McClendon, a very popular media personality in the Chicagoland / Northwest Indiana area. And he told me about this gentleman. And he's a freelance writer. He's also had experience as an advertising copywriter, in addition to being a public author, a publisher, I should say, public, where did I get that from? Published author. He is happily married to his wife, Hunter, and is anxious and enthusiastic to share his experiences and wisdom with anyone who's willing to listen regarding what it takes to maintain a highly successful marriage. And more specifically for the man, what it takes to become and remain a great husband. So without further ado, listeners, give it up for Mr. Chad Hunter.
Alan.
What's up, my man, Chad?
Alan, I'm doing good, man. How about yourself?
Oh, man, I'm cool, man. Glad to have you on the show. Listeners, I want to tell my listeners real quick, if you have a question as the conversation goes on for Mr. Chad Hunter, call 646-478-5710. That is 646, write it down, 478-5710. I'm going to just get started right off the bat with you, Chad.
All right.
Explain to my listeners as much as you can, without giving away too much of your book, and particularly my male listeners who are married or engaged, what exactly is a man's inner wife, and how does the concept of the inner wife help a man become a better husband to his wife?
Well, Alan, first up, I got to say thank you very much to Gerard and to yourself for the chance to to be on the radio tonight. It's a great chance, great honor for me, so I want to say thank you first and foremost.
Oh, you're very welcome, very welcome.
I want to welcome all the listeners on Blog Talk Radio. It's the first time for me. I'm excited, and I will jump right into it. The inner wife is very simply defined as it's a heightened sense of consideration. It's a very heightened development of consideration.
Okay.
You know, if you want to put it a little more snazzily, it's a simulation which avoids aggravation and leads to reciprocated appreciation and mutual communication.
Oh, bro, you know you had to run that by me at least one more time. That was kind of smooth, actually. I like that, man. Say it again.
It'd be my pleasure. It is a simulation which avoids aggravation and leads to reciprocated appreciation and mutual communication. Now, let me give you an example and kind of break down the whole inner wife concept for everybody. The inner wife is like having a simulated or virtual copy of your wife or husband, because this works, there's inner husbands too for the ladies out there. It's like having a simulated or a copy of your spouse with you at all times. So mainly when you get ready to make a decision, you run it by this mental copy of your spouse, and it keeps you from having the fight before you have to have the fight. Or it lets you smooth things over before you even get into trouble. It lets you pick out the right gift. It lets you avoid situations which you don't want to get into. And in the long run, it improves relationships and it starts to build new levels of communication. I'll give you an example. I use it all the time. I developed it. It kind of grew within me. So good example. Let's say, it's Friday night. Dark Knight's coming out. Everybody wants to go see The Dark Knight. I know I'm going to be there. And my boys call me up. Hey, Chad, let's go see Dark Knight. Midnight showing. It's going to be hot. It's going to be packed. Let's go catch it. First instinct, as a married man, but sometimes, we dip back into our single days, I might jump on and be like, yeah, let's go. Let's call Dan. Let's call Ron. Let's call everybody up. Let's go. Before I do that, I pop in the inner wife in my head. And I run it by. I'm like, hey, honey, I'm going to the movies, midnight showing, we're going to see The Dark Knight. Now, the inner wife might say, hey, but do you remember that tomorrow we got to get up early for that birthday party or baptism, whatever? And then I go, oh, that's right. Well, how about if I go see it late, but I promise to get in to go do the thing we were supposed to go do? And then the inner wife goes, okay, sure. Now, that could go the other way, and I could almost virtually simulate the argument that would happen, because most couples and spouses, we keep having the same arguments because we keep hitting the same points. So your spouse is telling you how they would react to the same situation. It's just we don't listen. We don't listen and we don't run that over and over in our head. So that's basically how the inner wife, inner husband, inner spouse thing works.
So you basically kind of run –
yes.
Different audio and or visual scenarios in your head about the anticipated response that your loved one might give you.
Exactly. It's very proactive, and it's very much a simulation. And what I like is that it keeps you from having to actually have the fight. And nobody likes to fight. You don't like to fight. I don't like to fight. People don't like to fight with their spouses because it's just not a good place to be.
Time out real quick. Time out, Chad.
Yeah.
Now, I agree with you like 80%.
Okay.
But the 20% that disagrees is that there are some women, and women would probably argue there are some men.
Right.
There are some women that are just flat out drama queens. And for the women, they would say that some men are drama kings. Some people, I find that they just love drama. They almost, their adrenaline gets flowing when they provoke an argument or engage in an argument. What do you say about those people?
This is what I say to those people. There's a couple things. One, if you're with somebody who is a constant, high-maintenance drama queen or drama king, on some level, you may need to step back and see what really is working for you in a relationship. Now, that's one level I want to take that to. The next level is drama is basically a need for that energy, you know, that passion, that fire. Because most people, when they get drama, they get worked up, they get excited, and sometimes that leads to, you know, some makeup time. Sometimes that leads toward other types of energy, getting that energy out there. Mm-hmm. If you can run the inner white scenario, you can find a way to properly and positively channel that energy that people get from drama.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now what? You know, I see a couple comments in my chat room. What if have you ever had guys say, "Well, Chad, man, I'm feeling you on this inner wife, man, but I don't want my inner wife, so to speak, to henpeck me, make me feel like I'm trained."
Yeah.
Because you know, men have a strong aversion to feeling like they're henpecked or trained or conditioned to respond. What's your response to those kind of comments?
You know, my response is, and, you know, it's not the first time I heard that, because it's a unique, revolutionary kind of way of looking at relationships, especially from a man's point of view. An inner wife does not make a man soft. It makes a man smart. And, you know, I got a background in martial arts, and every time I fought a fight hard and threw, like, every wild punch I could, I lost. But when I fought smart, when I worked the scenario smart, when I played a scenario smart, when I thought about different outcomes in the bigger picture, which ultimately is what one of the keys that makes a great husband or a great wife, is they look at the bigger picture, and they look not 5 minutes from now but 5 days from now. It makes relationships smoother. So it's not that a man's going to be henpecked. It's not that a man's going to feel trained or controlled, or a woman's going to feel like she got a leash on herself. It's the fact that you're taking the relationship to the next level. You know, in high school, we can all do that, fighting about this and fighting about that, or we can talk about, oh, she ain't controlling me, she ain't running my life. But when you get to the level that you're a mature adult and you're grounded in your manhood, then you should have no problem being able to take care of a situation where everybody is happy, not just you and not just your woman or your girlfriend, your wife, or whoever, but everybody's happy.
Now, let me ask you, before you start getting into the business of dishing out high-quality, valid advice, what was the best advice you ever received from someone regarding dating? And what, on the flip side, what was the worst advice you've ever received regarding dating?
I think maybe the worst advice was, you should go out with that girl right there. You know, the best advice, and that's kind of where a lot of the tips and how-to lists inside the book come from. You know, before I got married, I'm a child of divorce, and I know probably half the country is a child of divorce. And I saw a lot of bad relationships around me growing up. I saw a lot of bad relationships in college and high school and so on. So I asked a lot of people before I walked down the aisle, you know, give me tips, give me information. What's the good advice you can give me? And probably the best advice I can think of, and I got a lot of it, but the one that jumps at me the most is, and this friend of mine told me, you got to pick the hill you're going to die on. And that was basically, you know, you're never going to agree on everything, because women, you know, not to offend the ladies out there, women see things differently than men, and I think everybody will agree to that. Hmm. And men see things differently than women. And some things are important to women that aren't important to men, and some things are important to men that aren't important to women.
Oh, amen to that.
So, you know, people have to decide what fight needs to be fought. Sometimes you just need to go, you know what, I don't feel like doing this today, but, you know, he took me here, or she went to that movie with me, or we went to see my family this week, or we went to see his family that week. Compromise. I think that was the most important advice, compromise. The worst advice was, you know, was basically to be afraid of a female in a relationship. Not afraid she's going to hit me, but to be afraid to be honest, to be afraid to be vulnerable with a female, to be afraid to look at a female as a partner and a support system, and to look at her as almost like a threat or somebody that I can't trust.
Mm-hmm. Now, before, we've been talking about a lot to do with men and relationships, but I want to touch on real quick, what is some advice you generally have for men, again, without giving away too much from your book, that advice to single men who are past the stage of, you know, just kind of playing the field, sowing their oats, specifically for those men who are looking for the one, that special someone, what's two or three tips you have for those type of men?
You know, that's a great question, and the reason why I say it's great is because, yeah, I was there, and I remember dating around, and, you know, I was chasing this girl, and this girl was chasing me, and, you know, one girl was crazy, and then another girl was crazy. So I think the best piece of advice I can give the fellas out there who get to the point where they're tired of the game playing, mm-hmm. one is that you really honestly have to love yourself. I mean, you got to be at the point, and not conceit, you know, not self-love to where you think you're all that, and you're the greatest thing that ever walked the planet, but you got to be comfortable in your own skin. You got to have that honest-to-God self-love where you know you got drawbacks, you know you got flaws, but at the end of the day, you're comfortable with who you are.
Okay.
Because that really, that radiates, you know, that sends out a signal to the right kind of girl.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying in one way is that you attract who you are.
Yes, very much so. I mean, people who keep ending up in jacked up relationships are basically, you know, if they look back at the last four or five guys or girls that they dated, they've all been the same. You know, it's not, you just don't suddenly wake up and start a screwed up relationship. You've probably been dating the same kind of knucklehead for like the last four or five years. Just different face, different name, but the same guy, the same girl.
Now, how long have you been married, Chad?
I've been, you know, I dated my wife for about a year and a half. We've been married for about a year and a half.
Okay, so you just passed the newlywed stage.
Yeah, well, I tell her we're still in it. So, and, you know, some people are going to say, well, this guy's only really been married a year and a half. This guy's only been dating his wife for a year and a half. You know, what makes him an expert? Although sometimes I kind of shy away from the word expert.
Well,
I can give advice.
Most of us do.
Yeah, I mean, I can give advice because, one, life teaches you. Life makes you, you know, gives you experience regardless of how long you've been on the planet. I mean, I know people who are 45 and 50 who act like they're 18.
True, true.
And I know people who are 18 who act like they're 45 or 50. And,
yeah,
you know,
it's funny. I don't mean to cut you off, but quickly
no,
on the expert thing. It's funny because when I do book signing events and presentations for my book, I always shy away from the title of relationship expert. Matter of fact, I just recently had some comments that were featured on the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and the producer who invited me to do so wanted me specifically to introduce myself as a relationship expert, and I don't feel like I'm a relationship expert. I just basically, I like to call it shared wisdom. And maybe you feel the same way about your advice. It's just shared wisdom. I've just accumulated some knowledge and wisdom from my experiences dealing with people in general, and particularly the opposite sex, and I simply share that with who's ever willing to listen.
You
so,
know, I read somewhere a great quote that success is a lesson, but failure is an education.
Nah, I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And, you know, I've failed in relationships, and I've had relationships fail me. And I think what separates a lot of people is that the people who are quote-unquote considered the experts, they learn to listen to their mistakes. And they learn to listen to their past experiences. So, you know, it's like you just don't get hit by a truck, get up and keep walking down the highway, getting hit by truck after truck. You get hit by a truck and you get up and you go, why did I just get hit by that truck?
Mm-hmm.
And you take notes and you start to move in a certain way to avoid collisions like what you just had. And you pass the information back to the people also along the same way. And I think also another point that I'd like to make about men who are just out of the game, they're tired of it, they want to find the one, is I believe very much in being direct and stop the game playing. And I know that's part of the mold one doctrine.
Exactly.
Hey, no,
now,
it,
now you know I got to get you to say mold one.
You know, when my wife is a perfect example. I met her, I liked her, and about a week after I met her, we had a conversation, and on the phone I said, you know what, I'm attracted to you, I like you, I want to pursue a romantic relationship with you. and I'm too old and I'm too tired for games. If you're on the same page, cool. If you're not, it was nice knowing you. You have a good life.
Wow. You know, that is eerily similar to my brother. I got an older brother. He comes and listens to my show most weeks and comes in the chat room. But he's about to get married Labor Day weekend.
Okay.
And he, you know, he's a fan of Mall 1, but he, you know, in recent years, he applied Mall 1 toward more sort towards a finding a potential wife rather than just, you know, casual sexual companionship. But anyway,
right.
When he met his current fiance, almost everything you said is essentially what he said to his fiance.
Mm-hmm.
And in their first, like, lengthy conversation, that's almost exactly what he told her.
You know, you get to a point where, you know, you outgrow the games. You outgrow the, oh, well, she said she's going to call me, but she didn't, or I'm going to call her. I said I'm going to call her, but I'm really going to make her wait. You realize at a certain point that life is too short and life is too meaningful to play around. And I think that that mentality applies not just romantically, but it applies in business. It applies in health. You just stop playing and you start getting serious, because when you really get serious about life, then you really start learning how to have fun.
I like that. That's a gem of wisdom. I think I might have to use that as a quotable in a future intro. I like that, man. I like that. Now, let me ask you, you know, women ask me this all the time about why do men cheat? Do you think men find monogamous relationships much more challenging than most women, or do you think women are challenged just the same by the prospect of monogamy?
Yeah, you know, I think that it is. I think it's a human struggle to stay stagnant, and I don't mean stagnant in negative connotation word, but the fact that you stay with one person for what you hope will be the rest of your days. I think there is a restlessness in the human creature that you always, you know, we always fall prey to that the grass is greener. You know, it's always like, you know, you're walking through the mall, you got your girl with you, or you're walking through and you got your man with you, and you see somebody. I mean, you get married or you get in a committed relationship, you don't die, you still know it's attractive people. And you look and say, oh, wow, you know, she's hot. I wonder what she's like, or I wonder what he's like. And I think that people who are not well-centered within themselves will drift towards that fantasy that they think is happening but is really not. You know, they will drift towards emotional affairs, and I touch on this in the book, how damaging emotional affairs are, mm-hmm. and people drift towards that because really they're not anchored, they're not really well-rooted,
mm-hmm.
and they don't look beyond, you know, people who aren't well-rooted can't look past 5 minutes. They think about the instant gratification of this new conquest or this new female or new male. They don't look at the 5 days or the 5 month ramification of what they did to their relationship at home.
No, that's a very good point, because I was, of all things, I was listening to a comedian. And, you know, as most comedians, they say things that are funny, but usually they say things that are true, particularly black comedians.
Right.
And there's
right,
one comedian I was listening to, he basically acknowledged that about guys, and me being a guy, I can argue. And he said, for men, particularly men who are womanizers, it's not even so much about the physical satisfaction, because you can get physical satisfaction 100 times from one woman.
Right.
But he said it's all about that egotistical conquest. He said that's what essentially drives the womanizers, that you just get fired up to have a new and different conquest. And he put it in a more funny way to have people laughing, but
right.
it made a lot of guys sit there and like rub their chins like, huh, that's true.
You know, I think a lot of times any affair basically is an attempt to fill a gap or a hole within that person. But the immature way of filling a need that you're not getting met at home is to run around. The mature way is to sit down and say, look, honey, there's a problem that we have that is really damaging what's going on. How do we get past this? You know, you and me are trying to achieve the same thing and building this unit, this relationship. There's a problem. Either I'm not getting enough intimacy, or the woman might say, you're not listening to me. Because usually women feel more of they find more of the lacking emotionally from the man, you know, from the commitment, from the talking. and men find it on the physical level. The mature way is to sit down, you both recognize there's a problem, and then you figure out what to do about it. Maybe you go to counseling. Maybe you talk about it. Maybe you do both. Maybe you read books. You know, that's the way mature adults in a relationship handle a problem, because there will inevitably be a problem of some type. But the immature adult thinks that they can just instantly gratify it by jumping to another person or trying to fill it with other things like food, drugs, spending too much money, you know, whatever it is to just try and fill that, to get that quick fix.
Well, you know how I feel my void, Chad. I don't know if you knew this about me, but, man, I have to have a big box of Hooters chicken wings. Chicken wings, man, they fill my void, man. When I'm feeling, you know, emotional pain and romantic frustration, man, I turn to chicken wings for relief and love. Because, see, when I love chicken wings, they always love me back.
Love me back.
Now, real quickly, before I go to a quick intermission, I'm going to ask you one more question and also invite my callers. We only got about a half hour left. 646-478-5710. If you have a question or a comment for my special guest this evening, Mr. Chad Hunter, 646-478-5710. What's up, Mo Ice, in the chat room? I've read, and most people have read this in one variation or another, that the two biggest causes of divorce, among others, are typically a less than satisfying sex life and or a high degree of financial problems and disagreements. And again, without giving away too much of your wisdom from your book, how do men and women attempt to overcome the problems of sexual dysfunction in a relationship and financial differences?
You know, it's the same answer for both. And anytime, you know, if you read any book, whether it's mine or you pick up a book, you know, any other book on relationships, the answer for both those issues is communication. And I know sometimes it sounds like, you know, a dead horse that gets beaten one more time. But, you know, if things aren't sparking in the bedroom, you need to sit down together and say, hey, there's a problem in the bedroom. And the person that you're talking to needs to be open to the communication that they listen to you. Mm-hmm. And same with, you know, financial situations. People need to be able to sit down and say, hey, I'm strapped, or there's an issue with cash or something, whatever it is along the financial line, and the other person needs to be able to listen without judgment. So it's all about communication, it really is. And a lot of people might say, oh, well, I tell my wife that, you know, I'm not getting enough sex, or I tell my husband that we need to spend money better, and they're not listening. But a lot of times when people communicate, they think they're talking, but they're really attacking.
Another gem from Chad Hunter. I like that, man, because that is so true, at least in my experience.
Oh, yeah, a lot of guys are like, you know, what they hear is, you know, baby, we got sexual problems, and I'm not being satisfied, and we need to work on it. But what's really coming out is like, you know, you don't sleep with me no more. Is it another man? Why is it you don't do this like you used to do it? And the other person feels attacked, and any person, because, you know, we're human creatures, we're smarter animals, but some part of us is still an animal. You attack it, it's going to pull back. It's going to pop the claws out, and it's going to go in the corner, and it's going to get ready to fight. So you kill the communication right off the bat. So I'd say, you know, and we could talk about divorce all day and all night. I think there's a lot of causes, you know, for divorce nowadays. Communication, we communicate electronically, but we don't communicate face-to-face like we used to.
I totally agree with that.
And there's a lot more, you know, there's a lot more distractions out there. And also, I think that people, is there less love than 100 years ago? No. But I think that we have developed a sense that a marriage is easier, or a relationship is easier to dissolve nowadays than it was 100 years ago.
True. True, true. Well, I'm going to cut you off right here because I want to do an intermission, but I definitely want to come back and continue this conversation. Real quickly, I see Sound Off Now in the chat room, and Sound Off Now is sponsoring a Blog Talk Radio meet and greet in Atlanta, the Atlanta metropolitan area, on August 15th. So if you're a Blog Talk Radio host or you're an avid Blog Talk Radio listener and you live in the Atlanta area, or you are thinking about visiting the Atlanta area, get more details from the show Sound Off Now. He's in the chat room right now, and his site is, I think, Sound Off Now to blogtalkradio.com/Sound Off Now, and he'll give you more details about the meet and greet. And then there's another one in D.C. sponsored by Wendy K. But I will be right back with my special guest, Chad Hunter, right after this.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man, Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Block Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/Dangerously.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist? Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/in the know from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/in the know. It's more than a show. It's an experience.
So, you thought you heard it all about sex, huh? Well, check out BTR's new X-rated show, Sex After Dark, every Friday evening at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and learn what you've been missing. Sex After Dark is a highly erotic show specifically created for a very mature audience. Learn and share what pleases both men and women sexually. This erogenous experience is all about sensual pleasures and will be coming with you every Friday night. So be sure to mark us as a favorite and join the kickoff party on Friday, July 18th at 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hosted by BTR's Lonnie and Wendy, Sex After Dark. We'll be getting this orgy started.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. You're listening to my interview with up-and-coming author and relationship advisor Chad Hunter on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Author, and his main concept is referred to as the inner wife. The inner wife. Real quickly, before I go back into my conversation, my chat room is tripping off that promo that provided by Lonnie and Wendy K. They got a new show that's premiering tomorrow night, right here. I don't know if Blog Talk Radio is ready for it. It's called Sex After Dark. Now, see, my show here, Upfront and Straightforward, is for the PG-13 Disney Channel watching listeners. But Sex After Dark, that's for your soft porn fans and freaky deaky. And I ain't going to lie, I'm going to be all up in that show when I get a chance because a brother got some freak in him. But, yeah, be sure and check out Wendy and Lonnie's show. I know already, I haven't even heard the show, but I know it's going to be a trip. It's going to be off the hook.
Yeah, that'll probably go good with chicken wings.
Hey, man, ain't nothing like sex talk and chicken wings, man. You don't be giving away my secrets, man. That's the master combination, boy. Wings, and sex talk. But back to you, Chad. Let me ask you.
Hungry over here.
If you don't mind me asking, is your wife African-American?
She's actually Mexican.
Mexican, okay.
Yes.
The reason why I asked, because I wanted to ask you some questions that relate to people dating outside of race. Like, for example, do you think, and to some this might be a dumb question, but do you think a Caucasian man can make a black woman as happy as a quality brother, not just a low good, no good brother, but a
quality
brother or an Asian man?
You know, yes. And the reason why I say yes without hesitation is, you know, I've dated all over. You know, I've dated the black women, white women, Hispanic, Asian. And I know lots of friends who are married, you know, in same race marriages or, you know, different race marriages. And, yeah, I see the same issues no matter what. I see the same levels of happiness. I see the same types of issues that they face. And it really comes down to, you know, communication and who loves you. And, you know, I point back to if you have a child of one race, raised by parents of a different race, kids at a certain level don't know they're black, don't know they're white, don't know they're purple, green, polka dot, whatever. But if you give a kid love, and I know this might sound hokey and some people are probably rolling their eyes out there, you give a kid love, that's really all they need. And I say the same thing about adults. If you love a woman, regardless of what color you are, regardless of what color she is, yeah, you're going to have to work a little bit harder to understand where she comes from, and she's going to have vice versa, same for you. But in the end, if you have that mutual respect and that mutual communication, that mutual love, then everything else is really just icing on the cake. You know, it's just minor details. And I don't mean to dismiss culture and ethnicity as minor, but, you know, you cut us, we all bleed red, so we're really basically the same creatures no matter what.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question that's half lighthearted, half serious, because
yes.
I was talking about this promo that a friend of mine ran about her new show, Sex After Dark. Now, if I'm married, does the inner wife tell me when she wants to have that soft, round tush of hers spanked? Or is that too deep for the inner wife? Because I want to know if the inner wife is telling me, baby, spank my behind, baby. Shoot, that's what I'm talking
about. Yes, it does. And the reason why I say it does, and I got a whole chapter, I got a series of how-to lists that cover, you know, intimacy, cover sex, is that your partner has told you how they like sex all along. Now, whether or not you were listening is a different point. So your wife or your girlfriend or your husband or your boyfriend has been giving you signals on what they like, when they like it, how they like it, you know, wear a cowboy hat, put on spurs, whatever it is that they've been liking, they've been telling you. Now, most people, we think about it for the instant and we keep going. But if you catalog that stuff in your memory and your mind, you build that inner spouse, they tell you what they like, when they like it, and when to spank it.
Uh-huh. I'm feeling that, dog. I'm feeling that. Now back to the race. I don't want to put too much emphasis on this, but there's some people argue, brothers and sisters, that we as black single black men and black women have more challenges in our relationships than, say, the average Caucasian couple or Asian couple or Hispanic couple. Is that just propaganda? Is that just, you know, people talking smack, or is there any degree of validity to that?
Yeah, I think people and society as a whole tends to equate being black with being urban. You know, the reason why I say that is most urban couples, be they black, be they Hispanic, whatever, face more issues than your suburban or, you know, low-end, wealthy class or whatever you want to call that demographic couple, because they're facing constant financial issues. They're facing possible crime issues in the neighborhood. So I'm going to say that I don't agree with that, but it depends on where a couple is from. You know, my wife grew up on the south side of Chicago. I grew up in East Chicago and the harbor of Indiana, two areas that are known for being urban, being a little rough, you know, depending on what street you grew up on. Nobody is a stranger to crime. Nobody's a stranger to a friend catching a bullet by mistake. Nobody's a stranger to that. So we could equate to each other on that level. Now, do we face the same issues as a couple from, I don't know, the north side of Chicago or Naperville or L.A., Beverly Hills, whatever? Of course, they have different issues, and I equate the social economic is different than the race. But people have tendency to think black means urban and lower income. And so I'm going to say not the same, but financial issues make a big impact.
Man, that was very eloquently put, Mr. Hunter.
Thank you.
you're a smooth brother. I like the way you express your opinions and viewpoints. Let me ask you, do you think many men and women are too guilty of holding on to, say, past disappointments, past frustrations, and failed relationships from the past too much? Do you think this is one of the primary factors that prevents them from moving ahead and developing a new satisfying relationship?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people, and I'm going to separate it and make the difference. Men, I think, hold on to bad relationships in which there was some kind of physical letdown. Like maybe the girl cheated on him. Maybe his best friend ran around with his girl. So, we tend to feel that male ego, when it gets threatened, we hold on to that for a long time. And we take that into the next relationship, and we get jaded. And we start thinking all women, you know, are this or all women are that. You can't trust them. They ain't no good. Just use them for one thing. Women, when they get their heart broken on that emotional level, tend to hold on to that. And they take that into a relationship, and they start thinking, all men are dogs. A man ain't good for nothing. You know, use them when you can and get rid of them. As I think people don't learn how to shed that skin. You know, that's one thing that I give, you know, snakes. Snakes shed a skin when it don't work anymore. Mm-hmm. We don't learn how to shed it, and we take all that junk into the next relationship. So it's like, you know, you're trying to get on the plane to Chicago, but you're carrying all that luggage from New York, L.A., Boston, North Dakota. So how can you get on a plane where you got 35 pieces of luggage with you? You need to let it go and start each relationship fresh. And, you know, it's something that people got to learn how to do. And a lot of times you might not be in a relationship, but you're still carrying luggage from your past, and it's damaging, you know, how you get to the next level, whether it's romantically, whether it's in your career, whether it's with your family, just how you feel about yourself at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. You got to learn to let go. And you know, like I said, that self-love, you got to get to that ground zero where you feel good about yourself so you can stop making the same mistakes and stop attracting the same knuckleheads from your past.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Listeners, we only got about four or five minutes left. If you want to get a last-minute call in, a question or comment for my guest, the number is 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. Here's another interesting question. It might be somewhat a silly question, but I was listening to the guy who played Eddie Winslow on Family Matters. I think his name is Darius McCreary.
Yes, yeah.
And he dated Corrine Steffens, who's the notorious woman video vixen who brags about her sexual trias with different male celebrities. But anyway, he made an interesting comment. He said if there was, even though they've broken up now, they've had some drama between them, but he said if there was ever a woman I felt like I could turn a hoe into a housewife, she would be the one. Because he says she can cook, she keeps an ultra clean house, and et cetera, et cetera. So I wanted to ask you, do you think a woman can turn a notorious womanizer into husband material? And similarly, do you think a woman can turn, a man can turn a woman who used to be highly promiscuous into wife material?
Yeah, I'm going to answer that this way. I don't believe anybody can turn anybody into anything that they're not ready to be turned into.
I agree with that.
You know, it could sound like I'm dancing around the answer, but, you know.
No, I agree with that.
I think that's how a lot of people get caught up and sprung over bad situations, and then they inevitably get disappointed because the leopard doesn't change its spots most of the time. You know, like, he wants to turn this video vixen, or he wanted to, or he said he could, turn her into a housewife. If she wasn't ready, because you can't change anybody. You know, I talk about that, and it's, you know, you can't change anybody into something they're not ready themselves, deep down inside, to be turned into, because all you're going to do is you're going to build up frustration, animosity, as you push them or you pull them. You know, you can get a horse to water. You can shove that sucker in, but you may not get it to drink. And that's something I think a lot of people make the mistake, because they fall in love with you know, 70% of the person, but they neglect that 30% that kind of still runs the show. And so people who think they can change somebody, you might be able to polish somebody, you might be able to tweak some things, but at the core, you can't change a person. They've got to be willing to change themselves, or else you're just in for a long, long road.
Now, let me ask you another interesting question. Do you think a person's, a spouse's parents and or siblings can potentially ruin a relationship? Like, for example, have you ever had a male friend, a female friend, that one of the primary factors that led to them getting a divorce was the constant imposition of that the in-laws or the spouse's siblings?
You know, I have known people who have struggled with that situation, and I think once again that comes down to, you know, you got to be able to communicate. Because there's going to be, you know, any relationship, when it's well-grounded, your struggle stops being between each other and starts being external. It could be your in-laws. It could be co-workers. You know, I know a lot of guys who can't let go of their boys. You know, it's like, oh, man, but my boys call me, I got to go out. Oh, man, my boys call me, but I got to do this. And they end up neglecting, you know, their wife. Or I know, you know, people who are always running to take care of the cousins and the aunts and uncles, but they're not staying home taking care of the spouse. So you got to be able to talk. You got to be able to say, hey, look, we're not spending enough time together. We don't have a foundation, because you got to have that foundation to handle the external forces that are going to hit you in life inevitably. You know, you're going to have trouble with money. You're going to have health issues. You're going to have career issues. So can it happen? Yes, it could be in-laws. It could be friends. It could be whatever. But if you don't have the ability to communicate about something bothering you, then you're going to keep it bottled up. It's going to blow up. You're going to say things you regret, and the other person needs to be able to communicate in the sense that they have to learn how to listen to you tell them they have a problem with how much time you're spending with you know, Johnny, Ricky, Bobby, or whoever. Mm-hmm. Well, I think I just named New Edition right there.
Now, well, it seems like in most of your advice, great interpersonal communication, it seems to be the key.
Yes.
To well, among other factors, but that seems to be a definitely integral factor in the key to any successful relationship. What role would you say does God and spirituality play in a successful relationship? Can say, for example, can two agnostic people or two atheists have a relationship that's just as satisfying and just as successful as two spiritual people?
You know, that's a great question. That is one phenomenal, like, sociology paper for somebody. you know, honestly, I can only speak from my own personal experience. You know, I was raised hardcore Baptist and still have a lot of the deep fundamental beliefs I was raised with. And, you know, I've learned new levels of spirituality as a grown man. My wife was raised with a strong sense of beliefs, you know, same as I was. And I can only say that when you have, you know, and my mom would say, oh, here goes the soapbox, boy, because, you know, I taught you all that. When you have God in a marriage, it's like having a glue that kind of keeps you guys together. You know, there's going to be times when you get sick of her, sometimes she gets sick of you. But when you can fall back on the fact you made a vow on hallowed ground, and when you can start to do things together to celebrate your beliefs. You know, my wife is Catholic, I'm Baptist, and all those are different. We do still do things together. You know, we pray together every night. Mm-hmm. We attend church together, whether it's her church that she grew up in or my church, or we have a church of our own that we go to, you know, a brand new one. If you have that, it's one more level that you guys connect on. or to one more level that is solely between you two. And, you know, I can't say enough about the miracles I've seen and how good God has been to me, and, you know, in my life, and the impact he's made on my marriage and my life and my family. So I can't imagine being as successful in a relationship without God as I have with him being in our life. So, I mean, can agnostics be happy? I'm sure they can be. Are they going to be happy for long? I don't know. But I know it's very much a strong root for us, and it's very important.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well said. Well, my final question for tonight, before letting you go, is my brother's about to get married, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Labor Day weekend. And I think anytime you're planning a wedding, whether you're on the groom side or the bride side, the money that's invested in a wedding can potentially become a big issue. In just a couple minutes worth of words, what would you say is the key to planning a successful wedding without ending up broke, bankrupt, or in serious debt 6 months after the wedding?
Buy my book.
That was a timely and great response.
I'm going to say,
book. Okay.
Let me add in on that. Let me add a little bit. I think that, and it's funny you mention it, because actually by plan, you know, I helped plan the wedding, and that's kind of where the inner wife kind of sprung from. People need to go into the whole wedding process realizing that the wedding industry really could care less about you getting married. They look at you as a money machine, and they really, and the ladies out there need to understand this, they really prey upon the women and their, you know, that sense of wonder and princess fantasy that they've been raised with all their lives. And they will say things like, yeah, I remember when we were getting married, they wanted to add on covers on every chair for an additional $5. When you multiply it times 200 people, you got an extra grand they want you to spend. So I think the best advice I can give people getting ready to get married and, you know, who are trying to keep that debt down for a wedding, one, if you can, don't charge anything. Pay it out of pocket. Just eat it and pay it, because you don't – that debt can really shatter the marriage after you walk down the aisle. The other advice I can give is, as much as you can, remember, it's just one day. Stop focusing on just the one day and focus on being married. Most people just think about that one day, the dress, the tux, the limo, and then they get married. And guess what? All your guests, the next day is just another day for them. The next day for you is a brand new life, and it catches a lot of people off guard. So, you know, don't be taken in by the wedding machine. Remember, it's about, you know, it's about exchanging vows. It's about altering your life for the better with a new person. Stay grounded. Keep your eye on what's important. And just get through it, because being a wedding is probably almost as stressful as a funeral. And I don't mean to have to say a wedding is not a good thing, but just the stress from the anticipation and the desires of your guests and other people really can weigh a lot on people, and especially the bride, and just puts a lot of stress on her. And people just need to just kind of stay focused on what's important.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank – we're about to run out of time, but I want to thank you so much, Mr. Hunter, for being my guest tonight. Listeners, if you want to find him on the internet, he is at www.hunterchad, his name kind of reversed, hunterchad.com/innerwife, I-N-N-E-R, wife. That again is www.hunterchad.com/innerwife. Join me next week as I'll be joined by about up to four authors from the infamous Essence Magazine article. Until then, listeners, have a great evening, and thank you, everybody in the chat room, for joining me tonight. Much appreciated. Take care.